We're watching financial markets given the turbulence and the insurance system after the California fires. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. Today's the final day for comment on the Trump administration proposal that would make it harder for immigrants to qualify for citizenship if they've used benefits like food stamps, public housing, or Medicaid. Immigrants who've received cash assistance or long-term medical care already have a strike against them applying for citizenship. Among the consequences of the shift, what it does to hospitals. Marketplace's Erica Barris reports.
The Department of Homeland Security says the more restrictive policy would save over $2 billion a year in public assistance. But Ben Summers, a health economist at Harvard, says those short-term savings are small compared to the long-term costs.
This could be really damaging for safety net hospitals, especially for those that have high numbers of immigrant patients or families of mixed immigration status in their areas.
And that's because
families may just decide that it's not worth the risk of using a federal public benefit.
That's Allison Orris, a healthcare policy lawyer in Washington. She says immigrants who fear being denied a path to citizenship may drop their health coverage, and that could cause hospitals to lose $17 billion a year in Medicaid and CHIP reimbursements. Catherine Baker, health economist at the University of Chicago, says people without coverage would still use hospitals, but
when you're uninsured, you're much more likely to have a bill sent to collection, and that means the hospital or the doctor is not getting paid for the services delivered.
And that could cause hospitals to close, especially in rural areas with fewer resources. I'm Erica Barris for Marketplace.
Checking numbers, given the mess on stock markets last week, Asian exchanges had resolutely down days today, with Hong Kong down 1.2%. London's FTSE is down just slightly, but Paris is down 0.5%, with the French president trying to quell the street demonstrations during a speech later today. Here, Dow and S&P futures are all down 0.3%. It is December the 10th here. Since the start of the month, the Dow has lost 6%, about 1,600 points, amid concerns about some future economic slowdown in the U.S. and mixed signals from the Trump administration about the U.S.-China trade war. The former Nissan chairman, Carlos Ghosn, today was officially charged by Japanese prosecutors. He is accused of underreporting his income by more than $40 million. He could remain in detention for another 3 weeks. Ghosn, one of the biggest stars of the car industry, denies wrongdoing. One of his aides, Greg Kelly, and Nissan itself have also been charged. The BBC's Rupert Wingfield Hayes reports from Tokyo.
First, Carlos Ghosn, Greg Kelly, and Nissan Motor Corporation were formally indicted with making misstatements in Nissan's annual security report over a five-year period from 2011 to 2015. Mr. Ghosn and Mr. Kelly were then immediately served with fresh arrest warrants, alleging they did the same thing from 2016 to 2018. That will allow Japanese prosecutors to continue holding and interrogating the two men until December the 30th. Mr. Ghosn's defense team says the accusations against him are invalid because they do not relate to his salary, but to future payments that Mr. Ghosn was expected to receive after he retires.
Rupert Wingfield Hayes reports out of Tokyo for our editorial partners, the BBC. Numbers alone don't tell the whole story. That's why Marketplace tells the stories behind the numbers, stories of real people, of businesses both big and small, and of the impact the economy has on each of us. Because you appreciate this kind of public service journalism, we're asking you to give something back. Donate today at marketplace.org, and your gift will go twice as far, thanks to a dollar-for-dollar match from the Candida Fund.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.
A risk modeling company, RMS, estimates insured losses from the terrible Camp and Woolsey wildfires in California could reach $13 billion. Reporter Janet Bamond now examines possible changes to the federal system that helps pay to rebuild after a great fire.
People keep asking Declan Dunn if he's been back to his Butte Creek Canyon home since the campfire in California. But he says it's the wrong question because
there's like nothing. It's dust.
Dunn escaped in his car with only the clothes he was wearing. It's taking longer than he thought to now document all he lost for his insurance company.
It's everything you have. Like, it's crazy. The towels, the knives, the forks, and you got, like, nothing.
To pay for losses like Dunn's, insurers are turning to a financial instrument called a catastrophe bond. Here's how they work. Investors get a hefty annual return for the bond's duration and get their capital back when the bond matures, so long as no catastrophe happens. If disaster does strike, investors lose their entire investment. So the bonds are somewhat of a gamble, says RMS Global Managing Director Daniel Stander.
Someone's taking a bet that either the wind won't blow or the ground won't shake or the fires won't rage, and they put down some capital.
Online publication Artemis estimates that $100 billion is currently invested in catastrophe-linked securities. Michael Millett with Hudson Structured Capital Management says the bonds are used to diversify institutional portfolios.
You can have a stock market crash, you can have a bond market crash, but those don't necessarily instigate hurricanes and earthquakes and vice versa.
Little wonder the cat bonds were some of the best performing sectors of the market during the last financial crisis. The Federal Emergency Management Agency, FEMA, issued its first cat bond this year to help shore up the financially underwater National Flood Insurance Program. RMS's Daniel Stander advised the government on its cat bond issuance. He says FEMA should consider a new cat bond to help it pay for wildfire recovery.
We get the risk off the taxpayer balance sheet and use private capital that is geared up precisely to take on these kinds of risks.
But some policy experts see cat bonds as fraught with downsides. Jeff Schlegelmelch with the National Center for Disaster Preparedness at Columbia University compares cat bonds to the financial instruments that help take down the housing market.
The way we refinance things gets so abstracted from the underlying risk that we actually lose sight of how how easily it could all come toppling down.
Schlegelmilch also warns that federal cat bonds could end up backfiring by encouraging risky building in disaster-prone areas. In New York, I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
Thanks, Janet. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.